Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey there, the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Mike Kapler, along with Joel Brzezicki. Joel, I don't know what it is about super huge chest muscles and super tight abs.
I know you wouldn't know
mosquitoes,
what that's about.
But they're driving me crazy this year. Can you help me out? What do I do?
You must be in dreamland or something like that. I did see a little Facebook reel. I don't know. It doesn't really have to do with that, but something about, what did you just say? Well, anyway, it had to do with, like, people getting bug bites this time of year on their, well, it's, I guess, anywhere. And, like, in the Midwest here. And it's like, where are these coming from? You don't even see a bug. But there's these little tiny, I can't remember the name of them. They're not the no-see-ums. You know, well, you know what a no-see-um is? You know what I'm talking about when I
say
that?
I know what a museum is.
Oh. Well, there's a the bug that they, it's nicknamed the N-O... S-E-E-U-M, no-see-um, because they're so tiny that you can barely, they're little.
Brother, somebody stayed up late thinking that one up.
Well, there, it's a little black.
Probably the same person who named the fireplace.
Well, we had some friends from California visit the Midwest several years ago, and they're like, what are these things? And people were telling them they're no-see-ums. Well, anyway, it's not that. But there's this other little microscopic, or I don't know if it's microscopic, but it's even smaller than the no-see-um. And it's a bug that it feeds on cicada eggs. And, of course, this year we had the convergence of the 17-year cicada and the 13-year cicada. And so not necessarily in our area in Iowa, but to our east and maybe to the south, southeast, there's these little tiny ones. You can't even see them, but they'll cause an itch, and if you scratch it, then it gets infected, and it's pretty annoying, I guess. But because anyway, people are wondering where I didn't even see any bug, and all of a sudden I got this bite. But they're tiny bugs, and they do a lot of damage. A little leaven's the whole batch, I guess.
I'm blaming Adam for all of this.
Yeah, it's all on Adam. It's a mite. That's what it's called. Some sort of a mite. Anyway,
last week we were talking about how Jewish people were working at trying to keep the Ten Commandments and other factions of the law, hundreds of rules, commandments, and statutes, and yet fell short of the intended target, the intended goal of what? Of righteousness, right standing with God. This was the thing about the law under that covenant. It was designed to try to get people to a place of right standing with God based upon what they did. Fell short, did not attain to that goal. That's what Paul was explaining in Romans 9. And you realize, of course, that the Jewish people who were under that covenant, born under that law, ever since they were freed from Egypt and got together with God on Mount Sinai, and that covenant was established. And you know, remember now, these were Jewish people who stood there and said, okay, even if they didn't know everything that was in there, I guess they knew enough to be able to say, or maybe they felt like they had no choice. But they did. You see, a covenant is established when it's agreed upon by two or more parties. So God couldn't just force this down the throat of the Israelites. They stood there collectively and said, we will do this, and wait for it, it will be righteousness for us. Paul is explaining in Romans 9 that never happened. They did not attain to that place of righteousness. They did fall short, and that was from trying to keep the commandments. How many church people have told us how crazy we are here in Graceland? You guys are just off the rails here, man. I mean, you're way out there. You're suggesting people can just go do whatever they want. And, well, you're just, you know, we got to talk about a moral code here, you know, that people need to abide by. And, of course, we mentioned last week that moral code can vary quite a bit from one church to the next. So which code are you going to go by? You know, we have a code here in these hills, on this mountain of Mount Sinai. There's a code. Well, there was a code. It was a written code, not one that people could live by, but they could try to abide by it. They could try to pursue it. They could try to chase after it, but they were always falling short. Gentiles, on the other hand, over 99% of the world, who knew nothing, virtually nothing about that law or the ways of the Israelites, they had no covenant. They were aliens and strangers. They didn't pursue righteousness. They weren't trying to do the Ten Commandments or any other parts of the law. And yet, here's the beauty of grace, they attained to righteousness, where the Jews didn't. So, you know, when somebody starts giving you a bad time out there in the land of the legal about your radical grace ideas, you can just let them know that, and just ask them, did you realize that the people who were trying to keep the Ten Commandments fell short? They did not get to the place of eternal life through trying to keep those commandments. So it's just something to throw out there to try and shake them up a little bit. That doesn't mean, Joel, that we're advocating that people go out and try to break commandments. I've said it before, and I think I got this from someone else years ago, but we're really in a place in Christ where we're not trying to live by, certainly not trying to live by that law, because it was a ministry of death and condemnation, but we're not trying to live by any commandments per se, but we're not trying to break them either. That's the life in Christ. It exceeds that. It supersedes it.
Right. And that's the thing. That's the... Sometimes, I guess, I don't know, I was going to say it's the hard part. It's for people in our position where we're trying to convince people through, you know, not through coercion, but just through sharing the truth that this life in Christ is lived by faith and is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by a written code. Because for so long, people have thought that, you know, they opened their Bible and some people have even said God was gracious in giving us these instructions. You know, they believe that the law, the Ten Commandments, and the law, the other laws, were given by God so that people would have instructions to live by. And they've completely missed the point, and it's really hard to convince people of that. And I don't think we should be up in people's faces with that. I just think that we just share the truth in love with people and leave it to them to leave it really to the Holy Spirit to convince people if they're, you know, seeking after the truth. Hopefully the Holy Spirit then will then show it to them. But the whole idea that in our life in Christ, we're not pursuing righteousness, we're not pursuing trying to be right by following laws and commandments and rules and regulations and things like that. We have already been made righteous, and now our daily life in Christ, it's not a matter of looking to written words and rules and regulations, but the Holy Spirit is in us. The truth is that the life of Christ, we've been made alive together with God. We have been made alive together with him. He is now our life. While the people of Israel were pursuing this righteousness, being right with God, right standing with God, they wanted to be justified. And that's just basically a word that means to be made righteous or to be rendered as just or innocent and to be right with God, basically, to be innocent, to stand innocent before God. They were trying to do that by the works of the law. And like you said, Cap, they did not attain to it. If you go back to, I think it's Deuteronomy 6, the end of there, it says what you were talking about. They said, we will do these things and it will be righteousness to us. Well, it never was righteousness to them because they never did it. They pursued it. They pursued it. They pursued it. They kept on pursuing it. You know, this righteousness by trying to keep the law, they never attained to it. And then, again, on the other hand, you have these Gentiles, most people who have ever lived in this world. You know, Israel makes up just such a tiny percentage of people in the world, in the history of the world. And even at the time, you know, 2,000 plus years ago, 3,500 years ago or so when the law was given, even at that time, there were a tiny percentage of the people. they were the only ones who received the law. Everyone else in the world was oblivious to what the law said, because, you know, they would go to, perhaps to the temple. The people of Israel would go to the temple to hear the law. They didn't have Bibles. They couldn't just be at home and whip out their Bible and start reading the law. They would have it read to them in the synagogues or temples or wherever. And the rest of the world, they didn't have this law. They couldn't even pursue it. They couldn't pursue works by the law. And again, like I talked about from Romans 1, even if they had some sort of an inherent knowledge of good and evil based upon the things that God has made, that he has shown people through what he has made, they weren't interested in that. They weren't interested in pursuing being good anyway, or being righteous. And yet, in God's big plan, he wasn't going to leave them out. In other words, most of the world who God did not give the law to, and they were not considered God's people, God was still not going to leave them out, but he fully intended on including everybody as being able to receive this gift of righteousness. And again, it's just interesting that those who pursued it, they're the ones who did not attain to it, and yet those who didn't pursue it, by faith, they have attained to it.
Mm. Yeah, it's. Did you ever see that old Looney Tunes with Bugs Bunny and the tortoise? The tortoise, and the hare doing
yeah,
the race.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. That's a classic.
sort of feels like the Gentiles were the tortoise, and the Israelites were the rabbit, Bugs Bunny.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bugs Bunny could take off running that race. You know, anyway, the turtles. In other words, there is a finish line, and it's a place of rest. You know, Paul kept talking here. I know we have Romans 10 in between what we were just talking about, but as we mentioned before, these chapters were just added by people randomly. But he continues on with what he was saying. For I bear witness, speaking of Israel, 10:2, I bear witness, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, Jewish people, under the law, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness through what they did, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He's the end of the law. It's not the beginning of it. Sometimes you'd walk into a church today, you get saved, you confess Jesus, and you'd be led to believe that this is the beginning of the law for you. Now you need to start following the Ten Commandments. You need to start reading your Bible. And then they start listing all these different rules and regulations in today's world that you should be following. And they'll pick and choose. They'll ignore what they want to ignore, and they'll emphasize what they want to emphasize. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone, not just Jews, but to everyone who believes. Now, as you were saying, Joel, Gentiles who never had the law, they're not under the law right now. I mean, people who aren't Jewish are not under that Mosaic law, but Jesus tore that law down. When do you think, when Christ became the end of the law, when do you think that was? It wasn't when somebody gets saved. It was back when the new covenant was established, mm-hmm. after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christ who really, in reality, is the covenant. And I know some people will say, well, now, how many times have you seen this on social media or in your church building where, well, much of the law has been put aside and come to an end, like the sacrificial laws. You know, what they want to break it down into like three categories, you know, the ceremonial laws, they're done away with. But not the moral laws, you know, not like the Ten Commandments and things that might be related to them. But it was all one law. And we've emphasized this over the years on the podcast. I know seminary will teach differently, but they're teaching the pastors, future pastors, the wrong stuff. There is nothing in the Bible that says the law was broken up into different categories and that some of it ended and some of it didn't. That's just made up foolishness, really. It was all one law, and it all had to come to an end, and it did. Jesus tore that thing down so that Gentiles and also Jews could come together in Christ, one new man, as believers receiving righteousness freely as a gift instead of working for it and not attaining righteousness like the Jews were doing for so long.
Right. I mean, that's exactly it. Got another word or cartoon reference for you. You were talking about Bugs Bunny.
Is it the Flintstones? Does it have something to do with stones?
Well, were you a, did you ever watch Popeye?
Yeah.
Popeye.
I had a little crush on olive oil.
Yeah. Well, so did Bluto. Remember Bluto? And so there was Bluto and Wimpy. Remember Wimpy?
Who ate all the hamburgers?
Yeah, that was Wimpy.
Okay.
Jay Wellington Wimpy. But there was a scene where Bluto and Wimpy, they were both in cars. They were both driving, and Bluto was like just in a race car, or at least was in race mode, vroom, vroom, just going real fast. And Bluto was just doot, 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 just going along. And then all of a sudden, Bluto comes up to a stoplight. And then Wimpy just doot, 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 just tooting along, just real slow. And then the light turns green, and then Wimpy just keeps going, and Bluto starts off, vroom, just races, and gets to the next light. It turns red just when he gets to it. Wimpy comes along, doo, 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 and Bluto is just so angry. He's just so mad because he keeps on stopping and starting, having to stop and start, and Wimpy just keeps on, doo, 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 just keeps on going. And it's the same as that tortoise and, you know, the Bugs Bunny thing, where it's just like one of them's trying really hard to just go fast and get to the goal, and ends up having to stop, just never makes it. And Wimpy just keeps on going along, not a care in the world. And I think that's the thing. And I think that's what's so offensive about the gospel, is that a person who doesn't have a care in the world, not even thinking about righteousness, not even thinking about trying to be good, that person can be made righteous. That's the offense of the gospel. You know, Paul was persecuted for preaching this gospel, that it's not those who keep the law who are justified, who are made righteous. It's not those who keep the law. It's not those who pursue it. It's not those. It's those who don't even try. Those who aren't even trying. They're the ones who are made righteous. And it's all because God made this way through the blood of Jesus Christ, that like you had just read, anyone can be. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. Anyone who believes can be made righteous, and it has nothing to do at all with the law or pursuing righteousness by works.
I think there's some truth to that Popeye illustration too. You know, sometimes people, I've seen it happen, because I was told years ago by somebody, you can save some gas mileage if you're like half a mile down the road and you see a red light. You kind of take your foot
off
the gas. You get optimal gas mileage while you're doing that. And then you can kind of, by the time you get there, that light may change to green, and you can just keep going instead of stopping and starting all the time and wasting your gas. But people are always in a hurry to, there was a, on the old Andy Griffith show, there was a visitor who visited their church and spoke. And I think the title of the episode was, "What's Your Hurry?"
Oh, uh-huh.
And he was trying to tell them to slow down, start taking it easy. I mean, these people already rested on their Sunday Sabbath pretty well there in Mayberry, but he thought that was still too much. But there is something to that, though, realizing that we don't get there by how fast we think we can work at getting there or ourselves. This is not, as you said, Joel, it's not through works, it's not through what we do, but it's also not intellectually understood. It's spiritually discerned, because this is where the life is, in the inner core of our being. And it's not just by following letters in a booklet either, because the letter kills, the spirit gives life. And that's what this Christian life is really meant to be about. And not just another replication of thousands of other religions out there who are trying to do something to get closer to God.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.